lessons of the past. Welcome to Madison Labor Radio. Labor Radio is dedicated to bringing news, information, and cultural events focused on working people and the labor movement to the Madison area and surrounding communities. I'm Keith Steffen, a retired member of the National Association of Letter Carriers. Your support is necessary to make Labor Radio and all the great programming on WORT possible.
Hi, and I am Dee Crouch, a union ally. Today, we hear about a strike in Wisconsin and actions by United flight attendants around the country. We cover a Madison rally for postal service workers, WEAC endorsements for the April 1st election, a tribute to Lucy Parsons, and much more. Unjust laws cannot defeat us, but who defend the workers who cannot organize? And the bosses send their lackeys out to cheat us. Money speaks for money.
There is an election on April 1st in Wisconsin that will determine the balance of the state Supreme Court and the direction of our state Department of Public Instruction. Labor Radio spoke with Christina Bry, spokeswoman for the Wisconsin Education Association Council, or WEAC, about their union endorsements.
WEAC has endorsed Susan Crawford for state Supreme Court.
As educators, did our homework and feel that Susan Crawford is the best candidate when we're looking for somebody who is able to be impartial and focused on caring about Wisconsinites.
What are some decisions that might be coming before the court that would pertain to educators and students?
What we can say is when the Supreme Court does have a case that comes before them, it's important that we can be assured that our judges are impartial and can give themselves to listening to every side of a case. We were extremely disturbed to see that Elon Musk has come in with millions of dollars to support the other candidate in the race. That is a sign that Wisconsin's court races might be up for sale. It's just one more reason we think electing a true blue Wisconsinite who cares about kids as much as we do is important.
What has WEAC done to get out the vote?
Educators are really in the groove of doing a lot of one-on-one talking with their friends and families. They have gathered together after school hours to do things like write postcards. They also have been doing phone calls and even texting about why they support Judge Crawford for the state Supreme Court.
Also on the April 1st ballot is the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. WEAC has endorsed the incumbent, Jill Underley.
Dr. Underley deserves WEAC's support because she has been a true champion for public schools across the state in areas such as funding. Schools that are public are going backwards in funding. They're not keeping up with inflation. At the same time, the legislature has been giving historic increases to unaccountable private voucher schools. And Jill Underley has talked a lot about that and how that's wrong because public schools are the only schools our Constitution requires Wisconsin to fund. And if the state can't keep up with funding our public schools, we ought not to be spending money on unaccountable private vouchers. On the other hand, her opponent actually is a lobbyist for the voucher industry. We think Dr. Underley's record is clear that she is a champion for Wisconsin public schools, and we're behind her 100%.
What about the proposed amendment to the state constitution?
WEAC is opposed to that amendment. It's written very cryptically to confuse voters. We think we should leave the Constitution alone in this case. If they want to see a law change, they should take that up in the legislature.
We were talking to Christina Bry, the spokeswoman for WEAC. This is Janine Ramsey reporting for Labor Radio.
Postal workers rallied in Madison to protest the Trump administration's actions and threats against the U.S. Postal Service. Greg Gaboski reports.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, the Dutch committee has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho.
Yo, Yesterday, Thursday, March 20th, a spirited group of postal workers and their supporters lined Milwaukee Street in front of Madison Central Post Office to protest and to provide information on the Trump administration's announced plan to remove the independent standing of the U.S. Postal Service. Evan Elkins is the clerk craft director with the duties of chief steward at the Madison Area Local of the American Postal Workers Union, the APWU, Local 241. Elkins described why people were there.
We're out here today to protest against the executive order ruining the independent status of the United States Postal Service and eliminating the Postal Board of Governors, an effort being done to privatize the USPS. And by privatize, I mean turning the post office into either a for-profit entity or an organization that only services for-profit entities.
As with many Trump administration announcements, the goal or even the immediate effect of the order is unclear, but Elkins suspects it is part of a larger, wide-ranging privatization scheme.
Part of the reason I think that they're eliminating the Postal Board of Governors as well as trying to take away the independent status of the USPS is to allow for other parts of the executive branch, particularly that ad hoc DOGE committee, to allow them to come in and eliminate jobs and eliminate other parts of the Postal Service that are mostly geared towards, serving the people without necessarily trying to gain money off of it.
Christy Gutowski, a clerk at the Middleton Post Office, described what it is like to work under the seemingly random orders coming from the White House.
It's frightened us more than anything, the uncertainty and the back and forth. There's a lack of consistency coming out of the White House has frightened us and I would say generally made us angry.
Elkins says that this will not be the last public action by the local and described how the Madison community can help.
This won't be the last one that we do. Call your politicians and your representatives. Tell them that you want an independent postal service that it provides a lot of good jobs. Tell your neighbors and your coworkers that we have to resist privatization, not just in the USPS, but also our VA, Medicaid, Social Security. They're trying to privatize all these various public services, and they're only going to be able to do it if we remain complicit and don't put up any resistance towards it.
That was Evan Elkins of APWU Local 241. A sister union of the APWU, the National Association of Letter Carriers, will hold a rally in 2 days, Sunday, March 23rd, from 1 to 3 in the afternoon at the Madison Central Post Office, 3902 Milwaukee Street. All labor and community supporters are invited to attend. For Labor Radio, I'm Greg Jaboski.
Workers at an Oshkosh manufacturing plant went on strike this Tuesday.
90 members of UAW Local 291 in Oshkosh went on strike this week to demand that the owners of the Cummins Drivetrain and Braking Systems plant return to the bargaining table to renegotiate their contract, which expired on January 29th of this year. Union leaders say the company has engaged in stalling tactics, prompting the union to file an unfair labor practice against the company. Key sticking points listed on the UAW website include fair wages, affordable health care, and job security. Workers want an end to all the forced Saturday overtime and language in the contract to protect against the use of temporary workers. The Oshkosh Cummins plant manufactures components for military and heavy construction equipment. Based in Indiana, the company has a global footprint with 3,700 service locations worldwide and $13 billion in profits over the last 3 years, according to several sources. UAW Local 291 President Ryan Compton was quoted as saying, "This company is making billions in profits while many of our members struggle to make ends meet. We won't stand for it." Reporting for Labor Radio, this is Janine Ramsey.
The South Central Federation of Labor is holding a Beat Back the Billionaire Attack rally on Saturday, March 22nd.
My name is Kevin Galak, president of the South Central Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO. We're holding a rally in Madison with area union members who will be speaking alongside U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, who is also a union member. The rally is Beat Back the Billionaire Attack. It's in support of our federal employees and the services they provide. It's going to take place on Saturday, March 22nd at the Madison Labor Temple, which is located at 1602 South Park Street in Madison. We're starting promptly at 10 a.m. So we ask that people get there a little earlier. This rally is about the attacks by billionaires. It's been going on for some years. It was the Koch brothers and many others that were behind Act 10, which stripped away workers' rights and tried to divide and conquer the working class. They went after all the other workers, too, when it came to so-called right to work or forced to work for less, when it took away prevailing wage and project labor agreements. This happened to workers in the public sector and the private sector throughout the state of Wisconsin. And we did fight back the billionaire attack. And now it's happening to the entire country. We see these attacks, and it's against the working class. It's against our sisters and brothers and siblings that are federal workers. We're here to say enough is enough, and we're going to fight back. The very same billionaire that's behind these attacks, Elon Musk, he's also giving millions of dollars to Brad Schimmel, who's running for the state Supreme Court. And we have an opportunity to stop that in its tracks and elect Susan Crawford, who is a labor lawyer, understands the working class, and she's going to be a fair justice. And so this is our opportunity to have this rally, have our voices be heard, beat back the billionaire attack, and then get out there and knock on doors for our labor-endorsed candidate in Susan Crawford. I'll see you there at the Madison Labor Temple, Saturday, March 22nd at 10 a.m. Solidarity, and don't forget to wear your union attire.
Transportation Security Administration workers rallied near Madison's airport this week after the Trump administration told the TSA that their collective bargaining agreement doesn't matter anymore. Greg Jaboski reports.
On Friday, March 7th, with no warning and in violation of long-recognized laws covering union rights for federal workers, the Department of Homeland Security announced that it was no longer honoring the years-old collective bargaining agreement between the federal government and the Transportation Security Officers of the TSA, represented by the American Federation of Government Employees, the AFGE. Last Saturday, March 15th, AFGE TSA workers and union officers rallied with organized labor representatives and community supporters near the Madison Airport to call for solidarity in their struggle with the Trump and Musk administration. AFGE National Vice President Jason Anderson said that this action against TSO collective bargaining rights is part of a larger assault.
They want to say that TSA doesn't have a union anymore, and that they can't have a union anymore, because that's what this is really about. It's not about TSA. It's not about the 400 airports our TSO staff or the 2.5 million travelers they screen every single day. It's not even just about the contract. This is about power.
Daryl English, a TSA worker and the president of AFGE Local 777, the local representing TSA workers in Wisconsin and Illinois, said that the AFGE has filed suit after federal management suddenly barred all union representation.
Our national office, AFGE, has filed a case against our administration for illegally taking away our collective bargaining rights. All representation while on duty time has been eliminated. Any kind of representation has to be off duty on the assistance that the union has, so we don't really have any kind of representation as far as that while at work. But we are assisting officers in other means, but it's off duty time.
Christine Vitel, a TSA worker and executive vice president of Local 777, described how the announced end of the CBA came without warning.
We were in shock. We were in shock. I mean, people were just in awe. You know, we were told, of course, on a Friday, the weekend, so nothing could be done. We had a meeting with our local on a Friday night. It was 5 p.m. Central Time. We had over 160 people on a call on a Friday night.
Tommy Rylander, a Dane County Board Supervisor representing the area around Madison's airport, a member of the Airport Commission, and a member of the Wisconsin Professional Employees Council, AFT Local 4848, or WEPEC, addressed some of the Trump-Musk anti-union rhetoric directed at the AFGE TSA contract.
They claim that the dissolution of this union will help remove bureaucratic hurdles. If they are referring to your most recent collective bargaining agreement, then this includes such unreasonable hurdles as the ability to trade shifts and parental bereavement leave. How are you supposed to attract and retain officers to essential positions when the ability to take time off for the death of a child is in question?
The AFGE's Anderson explained how not just TSOs, but the entire federal workforce is facing a concerted dismantlement.
We represent almost all federal agencies, whether it's the TSOs that work for TSA, the employees at the Veterans Administration, Social Security Administration, HUD, EPA, EEOC, Bureau of Prisons, across the board, we're representing people, and we're seeing harmful impact all across the board, whether it's elimination of jobs through RIFs like the Department of Education. Just this week, they cut 50% of their workers. We're going to lose 83,000 VA employees in the next several months due to RIFs.
Anderson says that across the board, labor and community solidarity is needed to fight back.
So what we're trying to do is educate the American people, the communities, our labor partners as we can, because truly that's where the fight's going to have to come from. The Trump administration, along with Elon Musk and Doge, they don't care about what laws or what rights they're taking away from people. They're just going to do whatever they feel is in their best interest, the best interest of the billionaires. We're going to have to fight back in a different strategy.
That was Jason Anderson, National Vice President of the AFGE, speaking Saturday near the Madison Airport.
What's disgusting?
Union busting!
Federal workers under attack. What do we do?
Get up!
Damn right!
For Labor Radio, I'm Greg Jaboski.
Sitting in the city, don't know what the city is getting. The creme de la creme of the chess world in a show with everything but Yul Brynner. Time flies, doesn't seem a minute since the Tyrolean spa had the chess bars in it. All change, don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue. It's Iceland, or the Philippines, or Hastings, or this place.
One night in Bangkok.
On Wednesday, flight attendants across more than 20 airports staged a system-wide picket in support of ongoing negotiations with United Airlines. Labor Radio has more.
Members of the Association of Flight Attendants took to the picket line on Wednesday to support the bargaining efforts of attendants employed by United Airlines, the latest in a series of actions aimed at moving the needle on negotiations with the carrier, which have been ongoing for nearly 3 years. Since bargaining began with United in mid-2021, flight attendants have been working under the same contract that has been in place since 2016, which, according to a video statement by AFA-CWA International President Sarah Nelson, has allowed trends that have been squeezing workers for over two decades to continue.
Pay cuts led to a willingness to work more hours and longer days to try to make up for the bills we still had to pay on a massively reduced income. Bankruptcies took our pensions, ripped away scheduling rules we had negotiated as early as 1946, and started the brutal staffing cuts that mean fewer of us do more work and manage more passengers with less time and tools to make them happy. While we mourned the loss of our friends, crisis capitalists went to work on our industry, like they had with workers in every other industry, to squeeze more and put our productivity in their pockets.
The rolling informational pickets, which are one part of the AFA's patented negotiation strategy referred to by its acronym CHAOS, are targeted at taking back the initiative that Nelson says has been missing in past negotiations. At the picket outside of Ronald Reagan National Airport in Arlington County, Virginia, worker member Lois Brees spoke about how mounting frustration with the airline between both passengers and workers has finally boiled over in one of a series of videos posted by the union on social media.
Our flight attendants are having to endure people that are very frustrated with the process, whether it be going through security, their tickets being messed up, and we're the end result where they take their frustrations out. So it has become more difficult.
Materials promoting the pickets noted that in 2024, United posted a $3.1 billion profit, an amount that would not have been possible without the flight attendants' labor. Ivana Burns, a flight attendant picketing at Austin Bergstrom International Airport in Austin, Texas, argued that not enough of that profit is being put back into the flight attendants' well-being.
We have flight attendants who are living below the poverty line, who have declared bankruptcy, who are living in cars, who are living way too many occupants to an apartment because it is all they can afford. We need pay now so we can bring those flight attendants out of disparity and above the poverty line.
demonstrations took place both in person and online, as flight attendants on the move took to social media to express their solidarity with the pickets. In addition to the intra-union solidarity, flight attendants at San Diego International Airport found themselves standing shoulder to shoulder with TSA officers represented by the American Federation of Government Employees, who are protesting the rescission of their own contract earlier this month. In another video posted by the union, AFA Council 12 member Timothy Truman explain the importance of such an expression.
We've got the American Federation of Government Employees here, a separate issue, but you know what? We're standing together in solidarity today. We have to stand together because the Trump administration unilaterally wiped out, with the stroke of a pen, wiped out their contractual bargaining rights, collective bargaining rights, and you know what? That's not right.
A follow-up day of action in support of negotiations with American regional partner PSA Airlines is scheduled for March 26th. Community members interested in participating in the actions can find a picket near them and RSVP at www.afacwa.org. You have been listening to the voices of flight attendants across the country, standing up to demand a new contract from management at United Airlines. Reporting for Labor Radio, this is Sean Higgerup.
Trump signed an order eliminating the Department of Education, but can he? Carol Weidel has the story.
On Tuesday, a federal judge ordered the Education Department to restore federal grants that were terminated as part of Trump's purge of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The judge said that the department acted arbitrarily and illegally in cutting $600 million in grants. These grants targeted underserved schools for grants to train and certify teachers in struggling school districts. Eliminating the entire Department of Education requires an act of Congress. Trump has eliminated nearly half of the department workforce. A different agency, the National Center for Education Statistics, or NCES, has been the central source of data on education for more than 150 years. At the start of 2025, NCES employed 100 people. Now, 3 staff remain. NPR reporters spoke to employees at NCES. They were optimistic that schools will get the grants they expect for the next school year, but future grants are at risk. Without data experts and just 3 employees, the future is uncertain. A Supreme Court ruling in June 2024 limited the executive branch's ability to interpret statutes and transfer power to Congress and the courts. Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers, said, "See you in court." Her union intends to sue. The conflict about eliminating the Department of Education does not have broad support. 62% of registered voters oppose or strongly oppose eliminating the Department of Education. Sources of information for this story are the New York Times, NPR, and the NPR PBS Marist poll for the period February 24th through the 26th. Reporting for Labor Radio, this is Carol Weidel.
The following brief biography of Lucy Parsons is offered during March to celebrate Women's History Month.
Lucy Parsons was an African-American organizer based in Chicago. She was active in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Lucy Parsons was born into slavery in 1851 in Virginia as Lucia Carter. According to the 2017 biography about her entitled Goddess of Anarchy, The Life and Times of Lucy Parsons, American Radical, written by Jacqueline Jones. Parsons herself claimed that she was of Mexican and Native American ancestry and sometimes used the name Lucy Gonzalez. Her owner moved her family to Texas during the Civil War. She married a white man named Albert Parsons in 1871. Persecution of their interracial marriage forced them to move to Chicago 2 years later. Lucy and Albert became socialist activists in Chicago and helped to organize the 1886 Haymarket strike for the 8-hour workday. Albert and 3 others were executed after a bomb and chaotic shooting by the police killed several policemen. Organizers and speakers were unjustly held responsible for the bombing. May Day celebrations have commemorated the day ever since. Lucy Parsons became associated with anarcho-syndicalism, supporting unions as a means of achieving social change. She worked as a dressmaker and agitated for garment workers' rights, as well as political prisoners, women, people of color, and the homeless. She attended the founding convention of the International Workers of the World in 1905. She wrote prolifically for her own and other publications. She was an incendiary speaker and traveled as far as Britain and Argentina to speak to workers. She continued organizing until her death in a house fire in 1942 at the age of about 91. In 2016, Kelly Gallagher created a short animated video about Parsons called More Dangerous Than a Thousand Rioters, The Revolutionary Life of Lucy Parsons. The video is available on YouTube from The Nation. Several other YouTube videos have documented Parsons' life. Lucy Parsons Labs is a charitable Chicago-based collaboration working on digital rights and streets issues. The Lucy Parsons Center, a collectively run radical bookstore and info shop, was founded in 1970 in Boston, Massachusetts. There is a memorial to her in Chicago's Wicker Park, and in 2004, Chicago named a park after Lucy Parsons. I'm Keith Steffen, reporting for Labor Radio.
The National Association of Letter Carriers is hosting National Day of Action rallies to support a strong public U.S. Postal Service. Join city letter carriers and community supporters at 1 to 3 p.m. this Sunday, March 23rd. Location is 3902 Milwaukee Street on the sidewalk in front of the Madison Main Post Office. These events are intended to combat the threats of privatization that would result in increased costs and reduced postal service. Speakers include Scuffle President Kevin Gundlach, State Assembly Representative Jenna Jacobson, and State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe.
Nurses at Unity Point Meritor Hospital in Madison, represented by SEIU Wisconsin, are holding an informational picket on April 8th, highlighting critical issues including safety, wages, and dignified working conditions. That's a nurses' informational picket at Meritor Hospital, Tuesday, April 8th, from 1 to 5 in the afternoon, starting at South Brook and Mound Streets in Madison. I'm Dee Crouch. Thank you to the Labor Radio Collective, including reporters Greg Jabowski, Janine Ramsey, Carol Weidel, Sean Hagerup, Bryant Novinskalois, Carlos Davalos, Assistant Robert G., and Damage Control Specialist Joanne Powers. Special thanks to Keith Steffen, our reader coordinator, and to all of our readers and the members of IBEW Local 2304, WORT Staff Collective.
And I'm Keith Steffen. We would also like to thank all of the generous contributors to Labor Radio and WORT. Please stay tuned for the Blues Cruise with Dave Watts and the professor, Bill Clark.
You're listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
Nobody knows Chicago people like I do. a good woman. This is a lesson I give to you. Well, if you got yourself a good woman, this is a lesson I give to you. If you take her to Chicago, someone gonna take away from you. Well, my baby. Yeah, they taken my woman.